Hey everybody, this is Brad Bruce and I'm here with
Jace Marsiglia.
And you're listening to the 5195 podcast.
Here we are. We get to talk about some old shit that became new shit. This is going to be fun. There's some news that dropped this week. Well, depending on when this aired. News to us as we record this week. Anchor Bay Entertainment.
Anchor Bay is back.
Yeah. I was all about Anchor Bay back in my day. I've still got plenty of Anchor Bay at home.
Mm-hmm.
It was good shit.
It was great.
Yeah, man.
Especially for the horror fan.
Yes. They had their fingers in a lot of pies, man. They went to the old VHS caverns and they were buying shit from EMI, Universal, New World. A lot of New World movies. I loved seeing New World movies pop up.
It's funny. I've seen a lot of titles on Anchor Bay. Once they started garnering some love, the original owners were like, hey, we want our movie back.
Really?
And then they purchased their movie back and then re-released it under their own title again.
That doesn't surprise me, really.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of them, at least the ones I mentioned, the studios were no more.
Mm-hmm.
New World, for instance. That was bankrupt.
Yeah.
Late 80s. Do you remember your first Anchor Bay purchase?
I want to say I do.
I do.
What was yours?
It was the 2-disc limited edition numbered Army of Darkness.
Was it?
Yep. And it came with the director's cut on one disc, theatrical cut, loads of bonus features, commentaries, all that good stuff. And that was one that I waited on because I remember I loved Army of Darkness. I had it on VHS, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one day watching it on the Sci-Fi Channel, and it had all this footage that I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, tons of footage that I'm like, this is not in mine.
Right.
That was one of the earliest examples of maybe outside of the Naked Gun movies.
Okay.
Where I would watch a movie on television, and they had padded footage to reach a runtime because of editing and whatnot. And Army of Darkness was one of them. Naked Gun, all three of those were. And then in the future, as I've gotten older, I knew that Halloween had done it and Halloween 2. There were TV edits that had additional or even shuffled scenes, stuff that wasn't sunk up. But Army of Darkness, I remember noticing that and going, I am not going to buy the bare bones Universal one that's out there. I'm going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, I remember, I forget what website I used to watch where it was like coming soon on DVD, but it was, they broke the news. Anchor Bay is releasing Army of Darkness 2-disc set with both versions. And I'm like, fucking sweet. And I remember I bought it from DVD Empire and got it in the mail. And it was such a fucking cool thing to own, just to have it in my hands.
Yeah.
And then I really started looking into Anchor Bay. You know, from there, just to see what else they had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started collecting the Halloweens and Maniac and the Hellraiser. And those are still some DVDs that I've got at home. I've still got, I think, 20th anniversaries of Hellraiser 1 and 2. And even though I've upgraded those, I bought the, I think it's an Arrow box set, the Scarlet Gospels or whatever. It was like a big to-do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was overseas. I think they've done it over here since. But the Scarlet Gospels was the first three Hellraisers with loads of bonus features, but I noticed there were things on the Anchor Bay discs that weren't on this box set. So I was like, I'm not getting rid of these.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep them.
Well, because I think Anchor Bay used to do their own special features. They didn't just acquire BTS that was out there.
Not really. Every once in a while, they would put, you know, the old, what do they call them, electronic press kits.
Mm-hmm.
They'd include some of those sometimes. But for the most part, these were brand new things that they ported over.
Yeah.
And I loved it, man. I really, Anchor Bay was great.
I do remember my first Anchor Bay.
Do you?
Yeah. It was Evil Dead on VHS.
Oh, yeah, because they were releasing Anchor Bay tapes.
Yeah, yeah, that was the first one that I remember getting.
And if I'm not mistaken, those tapes came with different covers. You could buy, I don't know, one of maybe four different designs.
Yeah.
Because the one I remember the most distinctly was Ash with an axe over his shoulder walking.
Mine's like he's like, I got a girl next to him.
Yes, there was that one too.
Yeah, that's the one that I had.
And was it the two skeleton hands?
Yeah.
You know, like you're the skeleton. It was like your POV and reaching out.
You know, I wasn't aware of them
The other copies?
No, no, no. Like, I wasn't aware of Anchor Bay while I was movie collecting.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't until one time that I started trying to alphabetize them.
Okay.
And then I started noticing the spines.
The little sailboat?
And I noticed, I was like, wow, I have a lot of these.
Why can't I see the goddamn sailboat?
And then I went through my whole collection and I was like, oh, I must be a fan of Anchor Bay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that kind of turned me on to looking for that sailboat.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first thing I did when I went to Best Buy or wherever, I would look for the sailboat.
If you went to the horror section, you saw a lot.
Yeah.
They had a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. I'm thumbing through old VHS tape covers.
Yeah.
There's the, these are all from 1998, it looks like. So there's the one where Ash is covered in blood, girl behind him, chainsaw in the air, and the skeleton arms coming at him. So is that the one you were talking about? She's behind him?
Yes.
Okay, then there's the one that's like the poster with the girl half in the ground with her arm up. The one that I said with the axe and he's holding a shotgun in the other hand. And then this last one, which I don't think I've ever seen. And it says United States. It's very blue. Everything's very blue. It's like a blue tinted cover. But it's got, it's just the cabin in the bottom third of the photo. And kind of faded above it is the scary possessed face of Cheryl under the trap door.
Mm-hmm.
And it says limited edition. And it's numbered here. There were only 35,000. And then on the back, instead of photos from the movie, it's the girl on the ground with the hand around her throat. But I've never seen this one before. This looks pretty wild. Let me turn my thing around here for you. Does this look... Oh, of course I clicked something.
Yeah, click away.
Click away. Click away, Meryl.
You don't have to show me.
I don't have to show you shit.
No, I don't want to fucking see.
Good. Do you remember seeing this one anywhere?
No.
That's... the only one out of all these that I'm like, I've never seen this.
It's a cool cover.
It does look cool. If money wasn't an option, I'd have done the old collect them all, McDonald's mugs.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, the Anchor Bay was very good to Evil Dead. They were very good to
I mean, anything, Halloween. Anything horror and cult.
They were, but it seems like Halloween, Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Hellraiser. They kept.
Dawn of the Dead.
They kept re-releasing.
And I kept buying and kept buying and kept buying.
So did I. I even jumped on the Divimax. Yeah. Ones that came out. Another one I really liked, I bought their DVD of House with William Catt.
And it had no signs that part two was in it.
Correct. It mm-hmm. was a limited edition. It said limited edition. The only reason it was limited edition is because House 2 was on a separate disc, almost as a bonus feature.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, here but you go.
But it doesn't say it on the cover anywhere.
Nope.
On the front or back.
Nope.
Yeah, same thing. When I bought it,
it.
I was like, what?
I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Two. And I didn't know this until much later because the keep case that it was in was black. If you opened it up and pulled the insert out, Anchor Bay would put production notes on the inside of the insert. Had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
It wasn't until way later when I started getting some DVD companies like Grindhouse Releasing. Their snap cases, I shouldn't say snap, those are the cardboard ones, but their DVD cases were clear.
Right.
So you opened it up and you could see the double-sided stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But Anchor Bay, once I found it in house, I was looking through all my shit and they had one for Creepshow 2. I can't remember if the Army of Darkness one had one. It doesn't stand out. But Creepshow 2, when I opened that one up and looked on the inside of the insert, that's how I found out that fucking Barbara Eden was going to be in The Hitchhiker because of those notes. And it was just fucking, I'm like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, they even had like hidden surprises.
Yeah.
And Anchor Bay was also the first DVD company where I discovered Easter eggs.
Oh, really?
Like in the menu, where if you, instead of toggling top to bottom play movie scene selection, if you maybe toggled to the left or the right, where there shouldn't have been anything, it would highlight like a little skull or something.
Yeah, that would pop up.
Yeah, and you would watch something that was just completely hidden in the menu. It was Anchor Bay that taught me that DVDs. I mean, of course, lots of companies did that, but it wasn't until Anchor Bay that I just sort of haphazardly found an Easter egg one mm-hmm. day and thought it was the coolest fucking thing. I'm like, holy shit, there's stuff hidden all over this disc. So it was just cool, man. Anchor Bay was just a fun company to play with.
It was.
When you got your item.
Yeah,
you
know? Especially for the real movie fan.
Yes. Yes. I've said from the beginning, I'm a big bells and whistles guy. It's my film school. they would just lavish these things with documentaries mm-hmm. and commentaries.
I mean, I think they paved the way for other boutique companies to do the same thing.
100%.
You know, because even if you think about the two companies that merged to become Anchor Bay back in the 80s was Star Maker and Video Treasures.
Yes.
They were putting out a lot of the same kind of cult horror limited release stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like pretty rad when they merged. And then, because what was it, 94 when Anchor Bay was founded?
I think so.
Was 94.
That would have been purely VHS, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I think my first Anchor Bay DVD that I remember after kind of randomly buying them.
Sure.
When I was like searching for it was Maniac. That was the, that Oof. Was...
And was that the 10?
No, it wasn't the 10.
No? Okay. No. I never got the 10.
Yeah, no, it wasn't the 10. It was just the regular disc. But yeah, man, I don't know. There was just something about them that it was like, if I was to own a distribution company
mm-hmm.
and release movies, this is how I would do it.
Yeah.
So it was super fucking cool.
Well, they weren't just kicking them out. They were celebrating the movies that they had,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was just... It was really fucking cool, man.
Yeah. You know, I heard, too, that they actually got into, like, some legal issues and they had, like, some civil suit.
No kidding.
Like, with some fraudulent shit. And I think that might have been the beginning of...
Their demise?
Yeah. Because they weren't around too long.
No.
It was, like, 17 is when they went out.
2017?
I think so.
Oh, well, I guess that makes sense because... At some point, they became Anchor Bay / Stars,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of sucked.
I felt as soon as they changed that logo mm-hmm. to the A, I felt the quality dropped.
It did.
And not even of the BTS and, like you said, the bells and whistles, but also mm-hmm. the quality of the cases.
Yeah.
They were super thin, and they would crack and fall apart.
Yep.
You know, and I was like, what's happening?
Even the artwork wasn't too stellar.
No, it was very basic. Very dry. Because I think, didn't they do like, they had the classic one that we all remember of the sailboat with the sunset.
Yes.
And then I think did they go to another version of that before the A, or was it?
Because
you remember there was another version of that.
There was. Let me.
And it wasn't, it wasn't around too long.
Oh, yeah. Just the sharp looking A.
Yeah.
I'm only seeing the three. There's the original, the A, and then the new one, the pirate ship. But the A, Anchor Bay Entertainment, was from 2009 to 17.
Yeah, wasn't a fan of that.
No.
Wasn't a fan at all.
That was the one, I believe, was when they got in bed with Stars and Lionsgate.
Yeah.
But the original logo, it says the...
From 95 to
2008. Yep, yeah. That was the original company logo with the sailboat. And that was the one... That's the one that I loved. Every time I saw that, I was like, this is going to be a quality product. This is fucking great. And the thing is, 2008, so that would mean the original Anchor Bay was still kicking them out when they acquired Masters of Horror.
Yeah.
Because that was, I believe, a 2005-06 show.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on more than two seasons.
Right.
But so even that, as far as a modern horror thing at the time, they were still putting out quality stuff. In fact, you have the Mausoleum for season one and I think a skull for season two.
Yeah.
That was pretty fucking cool. I mean, that's what Anchor Bay did. That was mm-hmm. It was a lot of showmanship.
It was.
In their stuff.
It was. Because even the Maniac Tin mm-hmm. came with a soundtrack.
The tins did, right?
Oh, and it was Joe Spinell's head, but it was cut out.
Yes, it wasn't even a circle CD.
No, you couldn't put it in a... It had to be like a drop-in.
Yes.
You couldn't put it in like a front-loading. Otherwise, it would never come out.
No, you're right. How funny is that?
Yeah, and that was just super cool that they did that shit, you know? And what's really crazy is they really started in the early 2000s, they really started going up in price.
Just their DVDs
the out-of-print
the
movies, they started gaining crazy numbers.
Yes, they did.
Like, I remember I have... What is it? Road Games with Stacey Keach and Jamie Lee Curtis, the Australian movie. Yes. For whatever reason, I bought two. I don't know why. And then...
Anchor Bay kicked that one out?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I remember it being like well into like $150 to $200 territory.
Wow, no way.
Yeah, and there were a lot of those movies that they did that. There was a movie with Dom DeLuise called Fatso.
I remember that.
That was another triple digit schlock.
The with John Landis. Landis movie?
That was super expensive as well.
Wow.
No, you know, kidding. They, I mean, yeah, it was crazy.
Because they became collector's items.
They for were sure. definitely collector's items. They were just as important as toys and posters and all the other shit.
Yeah.
They went hand in hand.
They were one of the few companies, the distributors that I recall having numbered items. You know, like if you bought the Wicker Man that was in the pine box, that was numbered. 25th anniversary of Suspiria, that was numbered. The big three-discer.
Yeah.
Yep. And that thing's...
And that's another one where I bought two and I have one sealed still.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Suspiria, that was one that I fucked with that a few weeks ago and that thing's heavy.
Yeah.
That's got some heft because they threw postcards and lobby cards in it. A fucking 60-page booklet. You know, these, like I said, Anchor Bay wasn't just releasing movies. They were celebrating them and they wanted you to celebrate them too.
Yeah.
It was just so fucking cool. They
started in 97 with their DVDs, their first release being The Car.
The Car, James Brolin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they followed that up with-
I didn't know they did that.
Mistress of the Dark.
Okay. The first Elvira movie.
Yeah. And then this was all like within a couple months, they were releasing all these things.
Yeah.
You know, and then they did the director's cut of Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
Which was actually just the extended. They just added a bunch of scenes to it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was really a director's cut.
Because there's like three cuts of that movie, right? There's like an international, European, the Argento cut.
Yeah.
One that I've never seen anywhere else, and I don't even think Anchor Bay kicked it out, but it was a Star Maker from 1990, and it was... The Legend of Sleepy Hollow with Jeff Goldblum as Ichabod Crane. My family had it on tape. They taped it off a TV, and that's the only way I ever saw it.
Yeah.
But it looks like it was a Star Maker video, and I remember I've still been waiting to see that one get a release. If it's out there, someone write in. Let me know if I'm just not finding it.
Well, hey, I think maybe it's time to reach out to Thomas Zambeck and Brian Katz, who are now the owners of the new Anchor Bay, and say, hey, guys. You want to add to this list?
Yeah. You know, I mean, Star Maker's fucking dead. Just go back through go back through and see what you got.
Those are the roots.
Cause, oh God, the stuff. That was an Anchor Bay.
Yeah.
The fucking cool cover too.
Yeah.
I prefer the VHS cover where it's pouring out of the fridge and everyone looks like they're being eaten by it. But Anchor Bay's was the guy screaming with it coming out of his eyes and mouth.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fucking cool too.
Yeah.
But I'm still a sucker for the New World, I believe, cover. That was New World, right?
Yeah. I mean, I remember going one time to Anchor Bay.
You went?
When they were on North Hollywood Way in Burbank.
I don't know. Because I had Anchor Bay out by me too. It was California, Beverly Hills. Oh, their headquarters says Beverly Hills.
We literally like went in based on writing for a horror site.
Yeah.
And I got a story to be able to go in there.
Oh, how cool.
You know, and they gave us a bunch of stickers and, you know, I still have a lot of the Anchor Bay, like the old logo, the original logo stickers. And
isn't that cool?
Yeah, no, it was super fucking rad. I mean, I still, to this day, I think I have close to 500 Anchor Bay titles.
Yeah, that's a lot more than I do.
Because I went crazy, because I did, you know, everything horror and then all of the cult, all of the comedy, you know, because, I mean, they put out a ton of shit.
Sure they do.
You know, what is that movie with Michael J. Fox? Midnight Madness?
Yes.
They put that out.
I think they're still the only ones who have. I don't think Midnight Madness is out there.
It might be, though, now.
You think so?
I think so.
Because that was
a tough find. It was a tough find.
That was one that my wife, she was telling me about this movie with Michael J. Fox. And she was like, it was like a fever dream. It was just so fucking weird. And she's like, I seen it once as a kid and I don't remember anything about it. And back in the days of renting through Netflix... Where the disc would come to your house. It was the only way we found it because none of the video stores had it. We got it. We watched it. It was weird as fuck. There were things about it she remembered, things she didn't. And then I sent it back and it was never available again. Ever, ever, ever.
Wow. Yeah, there was a time where all I would buy is Anchor Bay.
So you just saw the logo and was like, buying.
I'm buying it. Like, yeah. I mean, I mean non-horror stuff. Like, I was buying, like, Class Reunion, National Lampoon's Class Reunion. Sure. I was buying Where the Buffalo Roam, Macon County Line, Melvin and Howard. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it. If it had Anchor Bay on the side, I was on it. Like, you know, that's wow. where I got Kentucky Fried Movie.
Oh, great flick.
Supergirl.
I have that. I okay. still have Supergirl. I have the two-disc one, you know.
And that was the thing, too, is that, like, I was so caught, because they did a lot of, they did some John Woo movies, too. I think A Better Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
One and
yeah.
two. I got those. Like,
I forgot about A Better Tomorrow.
Yeah, like, I felt like once I got all the horror, now I'm going to go back and get all the other shit, man. I got Lust in the Dust. I got fucking Maximum Overdrive.
Yep.
You know, Sword and the Sorcerer. That's an Anchor Bay movie.
That was an Anchor Bay?
Yeah, straight to hell. Like, there was like Alex Cox movies they did. I mean, it's like they were doing everything. I was like, they're making this for me.
Sure seems that way.
You know, they're making this for me. I mean, they did like The Boys Next Door, Tough Turf. God, dude, so many things, man.
You like, know what I was grabbing up through Anchor Bay? They had a great Hammer line. Yes,
yeah, I got a ton of them.
Loved there. Every time I'd see a Hammer movie, Anchor Bay is how I learned about Dario Argento, Lucio Fulci, because they were putting out their stuff. Mario Bava. I got a lot of culture through Anchor Bay as far as
yeah.
overseas horror, because Anchor Bay is what introduced me to like splatter. Mm-hmm. You know, like these really fucked up foreign flicks.
Yeah.
At one point, they put out. I don't think it made it to DVD. I know on VHS they had Trilogy of Terror.
Okay.
But the only DVD I ever had of that one was from, like, I think Dark Sky. But they did Romero's The Crazies, Season of the Witch, which was like a lost movie forever. A Blade in the Dark, Zombie, Fulci Zombie. That's how I saw that was an Anchor Bay VHS.
What about Time Rider?
Time Rider.
Fred Ward. It's about a motocross racer.
Okay.
And he's in a race, like in a desert race, like one like a Baja 1000 kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
And he rides through this field, and then he gets sent back to like 1870s.
What?
Yeah.
Hang on, let me look this up.
I'm telling you, they were putting out stuff that people didn't care about.
Yeah.
Oh, you know?
And that was the great thing about it.
And they were breathing life into amazing films.
Yes, they were. Time Rider.
Time Rider's fantastic, man.
I'm not seeing it here, Lloyd.
Time Rider, The Adventure of Lyle Swan?
Is that the full title? Oh, but, well, there's that. Let me click that, see if it narrows it down. No.
Really?
First result, The Final Countdown. I'm on Amazon, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let me just IMDb it then, because I was trying to find a disc.
They also put a lot of Werner Herzog movies. That's where we talked about Even Dwarves Started Small, that fucking wild that movie.
Weird fucking thing.
That's an Anchor Bay.
Nice.
You know, so it's like I learned a lot from them. Learned a lot about movies. They put a ton of Peter Sellers movies on.
Yes, they did. And they gave you a reason to explore.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
where it wasn't just horror, you know.
No.
I mean, they were putting out all kinds of shit. Like one of my all-time favorite movies, Hiding Out with John Cryer.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic. Fantastic movie.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like he's like enters like a witness relocation program kind of a thing. He's like hiding out from these people.
Yeah.
And he goes back to, he disguises himself as a high school student.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is fucking hilarious.
Well, this could be why I wasn't seeing it.
I
was separating the words.
Oh, no, one word.
But that was Anchor Bay.
Yeah, that was Anchor Bay. Everything that I saw as a kid, whether it be in theater or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to recapture and own on Anchor Bay.
Anchor Bay was kicking it out.
Like one of the greatest Linda Blair movies ever.
Hell Night?
It's on Anchor Bay, but I'm talking about 1984's Night Patrol, directed by Jackie Kong. And Murray Langston, the unknown comic.
Oh, the guy with the paper bag
yeah,
over his head?
Yeah.
I love the
unknown comic. And the people that are in it, man. It's like you got like Billy Barty, Pat Paulson.
Really?
And they play cops.
Yeah.
And it's like slapstick. It's like Naked Gun and Airplane before Naked Gun and Airplane, but hard R.
No shit.
Yeah. Pat Morita's in it.
What was this called again?
Night Patrol.
Night Patrol.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
1984.
I feel like I am a Anchor Bay vault now.
You gotta be.
Because of the amount of Anchor Bay movies that I have. And, you know, there's some that I didn't. They did a lot of Danielle Steele movies. You know, those love story, like the books, you know, so I was like, nah, I'm okay. But then.
Oh, you didn't buy those?
No. But then they would turn around and they would do like The Entity or License to Drive.
Jeez.
You know, or Turk 182. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like the list goes on and on and on. And I feel like they really are the pioneers of showing love to.
Unsung cult classics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do see. I was looking at Star Maker and one of my mom's favorite movies was East of Eden. With Jane Seymour and I think Timothy Bottoms.
Uh-huh.
And that was a remake, I believe, of a James Dean movie.
Yeah.
It was a TV miniseries, and it came out on Star Maker's...
Steinbeck, right?
Yeah. Yep. And boy, she was something else. She was hot in that movie, but she was something else. She was mean. But yeah, East of Eden, I believe, was James Dean's first movie, right?
I think so. First studio movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was his first studio movie. Because he had done other movies and other things that were, you know, low level.
Right, because East of Eden.
Giant.
And then Rebel.
He died before it was released.
Was that his last one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All three great movies, though. Mm-hmm. But yeah, East of Eden, the 1981 television miniseries.
They put it on VHS.
Starbaker did.
That's awesome.
But I would have loved for Anchor Bay. See, that's another one we can contact them about.
Yeah.
Anchor Bay, kick out East of Eden so my mom can get a digital copy. Because that was a good movie. That was solid.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when you mentioned the romance novels, that was the one. Because it's got kind of the cover looks very, you know, Harlequin.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good movie. I saw Dean's first, but I always knew of my mom's tape and never... I was like, yeah, this doesn't look like it's for me.
Yeah.
Then one day I'm going through the tapes and I'm like, is this the same East of Eden, like a remake?
Yeah.
And then by that point, you know, I'm a teenager, so Jane Seymour looking seductively up through a corset on the cover, I was like, swing. But no, it was a good movie, good miniseries.
Yeah. You know, what, I mean, I noticed an immediate change from the logo.
Yeah.
I noticed an immediate change in quality, and I was super bummed out.
Me too.
It was an end of an era, for sure.
Well, it feels like when a mom and pop store gets bought by the big people.
Yeah.
They're not interested in the cool shit that you used to be
into. No, they're not. And I think it's always been one of those things that's always bummed me out, that it was gone.
Yeah.
You know, when it actually folded and it was over, and it became Starz...
Yep.
Man, it's never going to be the same. And they did try to a degree. I felt it was just a watered down version of the previous releases.
Well, that's what was funny was they just stuck with the easy outs.
Yeah.
Because even that version of Anchor Bay was kicking out Evil Dead 2, Halloween, mm-hmm. Halloween 4 and 5.
Yeah.
It was just the ones that they knew were going to sell anyway.
Right.
Well, that was the thing. Like you mentioned Night Patrol and stuff. These are movies that a studio or a distributor, rather... They'd have to take a chance on that.
Yeah.
Because there's not a huge demand.
Mm-hmm.
These are movies that they're not immediately recognizable by title unless but people like you and I who are into the cult stuff.
Right.
So it was kind of a bummer because it was like, they now that they were bought and being distributed by Starz, they were only going to do the stuff that was guaranteed to sell.
Yeah.
You know, these movies like Midnight Madness and all that. Anchor Bay really took the chance and said, you know, this might not reach everybody. We might take a bath on it, but we're going to put it out.
Yeah. I think with Anchor Bay, they were definitely fans first. I felt like they weren't doing it just to make a buck. I felt like they were doing it for themselves.
Yeah.
For and sure. And then the people liked them.
Yes.
You know, it was cool, you know, because it wasn't just horror. And I found them. From horror.
Yes, me too.
And then when I started going to other places and I was like, oh, well, they do other movies too. I literally thought, oh, they do horror. Because at the time, that's all I was buying because the title was what grabbed me.
Yes.
You know, then when I started looking, oh, there's more here.
Yeah.
You know, now they're in...
You're in the comedy
they're
section.
They're in kung fu. They're in martial arts and they're, you know, they're doing everything. I was like, holy shit. So I was buying everything, sometimes blindly.
Oh, me? I did that a lot.
Yeah. Because I'm like, you know what? They care so much, I'm going to get something out of this.
Yeah. And I, you know, we've enjoyed everything that they've done up to this point. It was just a matter of, what are you going to show me?
Yeah.
You know, what, obviously I trust your guys's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, hey, this is just something new for me to discover.
Yeah. And it was funny because one time a friend and I were like, man, we should try to buy them all.
Oh, sure. Just find a list and cross them off.
Yeah. And, and when he brought that to me, I was like, no.
the actual list?
Yeah.
You were just like, yeah.
Because I don't need Daniel Still, you know?
No.
I don't need that stuff.
No, but.
And you know what was cool too is that they were releasing new movies. Like they did Grace.
Yeah, Grace was in Anchor Bay.
Yeah. Lightning Bug. That was a new one.
And that was a movie that spoke to people like us.
Right. Because it was like.
Big time.
Special effects artist trying to make it.
Yep.
You know, like, it's like, wow, that was fucking cool. But then when. they change that logo and they start putting out some wild shit.
Yeah. You know,
like, yikes. Like, what was it? Stan Helsing.
Yeah.
I think they didn't like, I wasn't a fan of Altitude.
I don't remember that.
I wouldn't know how to categorize these movies, but they were, you know, I'm not knocking low budget movies, but you know, it wasn't the quality I was used to from Anchor Bay.
They were independent.
Which is cool.
Which is very cool, but they weren't on par.
No, especially with the catalog that they were coming from.
Right.
You know, keep that quality.
Yeah.
You know, or release them somewhere else. Right. I just felt like some of these movies, they didn't deserve to carry that logo.
No, I get that too.
Because, I mean, they did Heathers.
Yes, they did.
It's probably one of the best cult movies ever.
Sure.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really, like, Heather's really fucking...
Oh, it's great.
It was the end of the 80s, but it was still very 80s, you know?
Yes.
But all around, man, everything they were doing was just super, super good. I mean, remember Nightmares?
Nightmares. The movie?
Mm-hmm. The anthology?
Emilio Estevez?
Mm-hmm.
The arcade?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I didn't know they put that one out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I've got a copy of that, but I think that's Scream Factory.
Okay.
But again, when Anchor Bay folded, people like Scream Factory and Vinegar Syndrome, mm-hmm. and, you know, from the ashes came a lot of boutique agencies that were making those gambles.
Yeah.
You know, with titles. And I want to say the last old Anchor Bay I got was, because this would have been 2008 when they converted, mm-hmm. you know, the last one I got was a Thomas and Friends DVD for my new daughter, and it's Anchor Bay.
Was it George Carlin?
It's a mix because it's a Halloween edition.
Okay.
So it's all the spooky Thomas and Friends episodes. So there's Alec Baldwin, George Carlin. I don't think Ringo. I think that might have been too old.
Okay.
But it parries back and forth between, I think, Alec Baldwin and George Carlin.
Yeah, because I got anything Carlin.
Yeah. But this was, it was cool because it was like, it was something innocent that she could watch with me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the last one I think I got. And it was a decent box too, because it comes in a slim case.
Okay.
But it came in a really big, almost VHS size box.
Uh-huh.
With a Thomas.
The train.
The train.
Yeah.
Up top. And that was cool. She was into that.
That's awesome.
She was little. Yeah. They would put out stuff like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby's World. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Just, it was.
Okay. I got an Anchor Bay pool for you.
Okay.
See if you've ever heard of this or have it. Tex.
Tex, T-E-X?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
No.
That's something that needs to be in your collection.
Yeah? Tex.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Matt Dillon.
Okay.
It's a coming-of-age story.
Uh-huh.
They're from Oklahoma.
Okay.
And it's just fighting and craziness and, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just trying to make it, you know?
Right. I guess based on an S.E. Hinton novel. Matt Dillon. Meg Tilly?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Johnson. I'll be damned. Yeah, I've...
Because it's, I believe that was a Disney release at first, and then it fell out, and then...
It was. It says production company, Walt Disney Productions.
And it was like, hey, we'll take it. Anchor Bay got it.
Well, that would have been, like you said, one of the ones that Disney was like, I think I'll just take this back.
And they did a lot of that with them. Like, there was, there was another one that Anchor Bay picked up when Disney let go, and that was The Cat from Outer Space.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a fucking rad movie.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a fucking rad movie.
I mean, the title alone already evokes, you know, the computer wore tennis shoes.
Exactly.
Was it that kind of stupid?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just fun. You know, fun, it was just
yeah.
Fun. Yeah. Just super fun shit. Yeah, it's, you know, I still look for Anchor Bay. Not as much, having so many.
No, I would imagine by this point.
And there are times where if I pick them up and it's an Anchor Bay and I see that it's like 2005 and newer, I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I know. You put it back.
Yeah, the movie has to be from like the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, some 90s, you know, before. And if I don't own it, then yeah, I'm going to grab it. And, you know, for a while, there is a absolutely amazing record store, and that's Atomic Records in Burbank. And I've been going there for years. They have tons of movies. Boxes in the back. I mean, just overflowing.
Have you taken me here?
I want to say I have. Yeah, but I love those guys, and I've gotten so many Anchor Bays from them.
Yeah.
The other place being Amoeba Records.
Of course.
You know, especially the old Amoeba.
Yeah.
On Sunset. Like, that was one of the best picking spots ever.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was the perfect location. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was such an amazing time. When all this stuff started going away, it was just like, man, I really stopped collecting.
That's sad.
It is sad, you know? And, you know, I will give it to Amoeba because the new location, they definitely recaptured the old feel.
No, it's nice.
It is nice.
It is nice. It's still a double level.
Yeah.
I didn't think even in terms of stock that it was too different.
Yeah.
You know, for me anyway. But you're way more familiar, you know. You go way more often.
I think when
I go in, I'm always still very much like, wow.
They've
got this one, they've got that.
I think one of the greatest things Amoeba did, and I wish they would do it bigger like they had in the past.
Uh-huh.
And that is when you walked upstairs in the back by the information desk, they had a giant glass shelf. And behind it was all extremely rare, out of print movies. It's like you were going to pay. And I bought many movies out of that case. We just talked about it the other day. Don Coscarelli's Kenny & Co. on Anchor Bay.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah, what a find.
You know, and that's just one of those things where once it gets its claws in you, it's like a drug.
The bug.
You know, I'm like, oh my God, I got to get them all.
Yeah.
It's really cool when you can see one that you've only seen on eBay.
Oh, sure.
You know, and it's like you get to see it in person.
Yep.
Fucking thrill. Man, I don't know. Those times are just...
I miss it.
I miss it too.
I miss
it
a lot.
And again, it is different. Like I said, Amoeba, definitely kudos. They did a great job on the new store. It's beautiful.
It is.
Staff is still super rad.
Extremely.
But it's just like, God, I miss that old building.
I know. It was a cool, cool building.
Yeah, it really was, you know. And then now, you know, with this new resurgence of Anchor Bay, I have hope that it's going to be cool. It seems like they have a couple of cool titles that are already lined up for us.
On deck, I'm really excited about Dinner with Leatherface.
I am too.
Yeah.
And what is the other one? Abruptio?
Yeah, Abruptio.
Like a puppet movie?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I thought it was a puppet movie. I could be wrong. But I don't know. You know, I guess time will tell.
It will.
And we'll see, you know?
I mean, it definitely will.
Sadly, those days are gone, but I still do get to enjoy it every time I walk by that shelf and I see all those Anchor Bays. It's kind of cool. I feel like I got my own Anchor Bay vault.
Oh, man.
You know? And every once in a while, sure, I might be able to add another piece to it.
Yeah, which not often.
Yeah, because it isn't often, you know, because, I mean, yeah, everything I want, I have from them. There's only a few. There is literally only a few.
Yep.
You know,
and they're, you know, romantic.
Yeah, they are. Dinner date. I'm looking for dinner date.
You're looking for dinner date?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It is good.
Some good dinner dating.
What is the most you've ever paid for an Anchor Bay? Do you know?
For an Anchor Bay? Ooh.
Has there ever been one you're like, fuck, I just got to pull the trigger on eBay or, you know? Because, I mean, you know, I'm early days of Anchor Bay, so, and reselling and collecting. So it was like, I had to go to eBay.
That's a good question. Probably the one I dropped the most money on might have been that Suspiria box.
Okay. But was that from them or you bought aftermarket?
It was brand new.
I mean, okay, so.
So, yeah, you're talking.
No, I mean, like, did you buy it, like, off the shelf in a store? Or
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Because I think I got most of what I wanted while they were big. And uh-huh. when they folded up, the ones that I didn't get, I started getting through other boutique agencies when they released them.
Gotcha.
So, okay. Yeah, I didn't get a whole lot.
Yeah.
I didn't have to drop a whole lot of money on Anchor Bay after the fact.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know.
The most I ever paid for an Anchor Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from Amoeba.
Okay.
And it was just shy of like $300.
Damn.
And it was the recalled Sleepaway Camp set.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were sued by the Red Cross.
Yes.
Because it had a Red Cross on
it. Because it looked like a first aid kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was funny because there was when we were shooting a movie here and Felissa was upstairs and she's like looking at all the movies and she was just like, holy fuck, you have this? She's like, this is expensive.
I was going to say, I would have laughed if she was like, I don't even have this.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's.
Yeah, I think that's the most I've ever paid for one.
I definitely sharked that one and the price sent me running.
Yeah. I don't know what it is now. I mean, now it's probably worth $80 or $20. Like that's the weird, you know, the shift is so weird.
That is strange.
You know, it's like all these movies that were super expensive are like, oh, they're not anymore. It's fucking weird how this shit happens. I know for the longest time, Fraternity Vacation on Anchor Bay.
Fraternity Vacation.
I know you had to have seen this or at least are aware of this.
I think it's like 80s. Stephen Jeffries.
Yeah. And isn't Tim Robbins in it too? Because I know like Barbara Crampton's in it.
Yeah. Tim Robbins, Stephen Jeffries, Amanda Bierce.
Okay.
John Vernon and Barbara Crampton.
I'll
be damned. Meet Wendell Vett. Would you believe he's about to become America's number one hunk? Fraternity Vacation. And it looks like there was one paired up with Reform School Girls. The Blu-ray for Fraternity Vacation, $89.99.
Really?
Yep.
Well, you know what's funny is back in the day.
DVD looks like it's about $12. Is that Anchor Bay?
Yeah, it's Anchor Bay. Because is it the three of them above like a scene, like on a street?
Does no,
it
show? No. Oh, this looks like it's from overseas.
No, okay, then no. You know, no, then.
Because it's a really hot chick in a bikini, and then it looks like Tim Robbins and Stephen Jeffries are just kind of superimposed over one of her tits.
Oh, wow.
It's a very weird cover.
Wow. No, the Anchor Bay is, it's all three of the guys, like Tim Robbins and Stephen Jeffries, and I can't remember the other guy's name.
Oh, this one.
And then there's like someone on a Jeep, like they're in a Jeep and like on a street.
Yep.
That's the Anchor Bay version.
Nope, I see this one here, and this is going for $14.95.
Here's what's crazy. Back in the day, it used to be $500 and up.
For the Anchor Bay DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, for used, it's $14.95.
Yeah, that's crazy. Luckily enough, I bought it brand new on the shelf, and I saw it rise up like crazy.
Uh-huh.
And I never did anything with it. I mean, I obviously kept it, but.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's another thing that Anchor Bay would do, and you did mention on it, they would put an insert.
Yeah.
Like a heavy cardstock insert.
Yep.
And this is what's funny. Almost every single Anchor Bay had it. In the movie, the older movies, they had them, you know, Knight Riders and, you know, Dawn of the Dead. And, you know, they all had the inserts.
Yeah.
My weird neuroticness, I would pick up an Anchor Bay at Amoeba or, you know, wherever it was at.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just lightly give it a quick shake. And I would hear the tapping of the card hitting up and down. And then I would, okay, I'll get it.
Ah.
If it wasn't in there, I wouldn't get it.
You're like, no, thanks.
I wouldn't get it. There are guys that were selling sleeves and inserts from Anchor Bay on DVD.
Really?
Yeah.
You know,
my brother is a big movie collector as well, and he has thousands of movies like I do. But he did something completely different that drove me fucking crazy.
What's that?
He put them all in binders.
Oh.
And he was like putting them all in boxes to throw all the boxes in the trash.
Like just taking the disc out and putting it like in a CD binder. Yeah. You know,
and it drove me fucking crazy. So I took them all.
I knew people that did that. Yeah.
I took them all and I went through them, and all the ones that were Anchor Bay or horror, I took them apart and I saved the actual even cover and then the insert. And then I took the cases and I put those in boxes if they were good, because I needed them in case I bought a movie that was bad or was broke or cracked. I had extras. Sure. Yeah. So I actually kept all those. And then when I started doing eBay, I started selling the inserts and the covers.
Wow. Did you make a lot of bank off of those?
They were doing well.
No kidding.
Because I probably had close to 200 or 300 inserts.
Wow.
And covers. You know, and there are guys that like needed that shit.
Yeah.
Like I remember Martin, the George Romero movie.
Yes.
Anchor Bay released that.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I got, because I wasn't really aware at the time.
Yeah.
It didn't have the insert.
Hmm.
Then I was at my buddy's house and I saw his and I was like, oh, I got this. And I opened it and I was like, what? There's an insert? And mine didn't have it?
No way.
Yeah. Oh, it drove me fucking crazy. And I ended up having to buy mine off of... No, I didn't. What I did was I found another one that had an insert and I bought that one. So I have two.
Hmm.
You know, and the same thing with Where the Buffalo Roam.
The Hunter S. Thompson.
The old Bill Murray. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one didn't have an insert. But that one at the time, again, was like extremely expensive. And so... It was funny. I actually talked a Blockbuster Video employee into letting me bring my new version that they released. And I think Universal put it out.
Of Martin?
No. Of Where the Buffalo Roam.
Oh, yeah. I'm like,
let's do the old switcheroo. Because Blockbuster had the Anchor Bay.
Yeah.
And I had the new version. And I was like, let's just trade. And I had been going to this Blockbuster for a while. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I don't care. So I took the Anchor Bay and he took mine and put it on the shelf. And
you've got the Anchor
Bay. Yeah. And then I bought the insert online.
No shit. Are you ready to find out something that you're not going to be happy about?
Okay. Well, until next time.
Your fraternity vacation DVD from Anchor Bay?
Yeah.
It's edited.
What do you mean?
It says the current Anchor Bay DVD from 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Sound about right?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any cuts? Currently the only version available and it's cut. Yes, nudity that you would see in previous VHS releases has been covered up.
Wow.
And you know what? I bet you the Blu-ray that goes for like $90, that's probably uncut, and it was Scorpion releasing, so you know that that's...
That's probably why.
They're fucking gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
It doesn't say anything about the Scorpion release, you know, uncut for the first time or anything like that.
Yeah.
But you know Scorpion probably put it out the way it was supposed to be, and it's history.
Wow. So does that mean mine's like, no, wow, okay. I don't know. Yeah, thanks.
That's a bummer. And the thing is, that was something that drove me nuts about. Might have been Artisan who put out the Prom Night 3 and 4 double feature disc. They were TV edits.
Oh, God.
Why the fuck would you sell a TV edit of something?
Oh, that's weird.
Nobody should be doing that. If you're buying the movie, why aren't you getting the R-rated cut of whatever it is you're buying?
That's ugly.
Fucking ugly.
That is ugly.
And to be honest, I'm pretty sure Prom Night 3 and 4 have not been released anywhere else.
Wow.
It's just that. I was so mad when I heard about that. I was like, man. So I have Prom Night 3 and 4 on tape.
Yeah.
Because those are uncut. But yeah, I just read that about Fraternity Vacation. Anchor Bay's copy is edited.
Mm.
And the thing is, this movie had Barbara, Kathleen Kenmont.
Yeah.
I don't want to see an edited version of that.
Wow.
But yeah, the Scorpion releasing copy came out February 4th, 2020.
And crazy.
And it's 90 fucking bucks. So it is...
What the hell?
Thing is, I know Kino Lorber bought the Scorpion catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll re-release it at some point.
Yeah.
Not worth the $90.
Right.
But it says it was a brand new 2019 HD master, so...
Wow.
That means that they probably gave it the do it deserved, and then it just... The place folded up.
Wow.
But who knows? With Anchor Bay rising from the ashes, maybe they can pick it up and re-release it.
Interesting.
Show it some love.
Abruptio is a 2023 American adult puppet animated horror film.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, hey, Robert Englund's in it.
Yeah, I saw there was a bit of a cast.
Yeah.
There was a cast.
We shall see. I mean, I know, didn't they release, what's it, Tarantino, Hateful Eight?
Anchor Bay?
I think so.
They might have. You might be right.
I think they did.
Because I'm not really sure who put that out.
I think they released it. Could be wrong, but I thought they did. Because I know they did It Followed. Did they do it? Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Okay. Hateful Eight, Anchor Bay Entertainment. Yeah, all copies are Anchor Bay. Okay. I'll be down. Yeah. Ooh, one of them was a Target exclusive with a third disc that had The Hateful Eight, an inside look at Tarantino's eighth film.
Got it.
You got the Target exclusive?
I do. I got them all. When they came out, I got them all.
Thing is, are they ever going to release the extended cut that's on Netflix?
Who knows?
Because that's, they treat it like it's a Netflix original. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck. Just give it to us, man.
See, even some of the new stuff they did, I'm like, okay, I can get behind that. Like Everly.
Yeah.
Joe Lynch.
Joe Lynch's Everly.
Yeah, like that's a great movie. That's mm-hmm. a fucking fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, again, I always go back, you know, it's literally like 2009. For some reason, it's always like, you know, 2009 and older.
Yeah.
You know, for me. I mean, yeah, there was a few, you know, that crept out around 2010. You know, I mean, because I was a fan of the Crazies remake.
Yeah, me too.
I did like it. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, but it's like anything that like 2009 and older, they were still doing the boutique kind of a thing, you know.
Yes.
Finding, you know, undiscovered gems, I guess you would call them.
Just not in the mass.
Just forgotten films, I think. Yeah. You know.
I think one of the more recent ones that I had gotten from them was probably Hatchet.
What's that? No, I'm just kidding.
the first Hatchet.
Yeah.
That and I'm looking at one right now that I have, Left in Darkness.
Hmm.
And it had Monica Keena from Freddy vs. Jason.
Okay.
But that was one that was Anchor Bay Entertainment, and it was a newer film that they kicked out. I think it says 2006.
Okay.
But yeah, once the writing was on that, I think even Hatchet is the Starz
Anchor Bay logo. It is.
So that was one that, you know, I bought it. And after that, I don't think I collected much else.
Really?
I think Hatchet, Left in Darkness, and The Masters of Horror. And I was buying those individually.
Yeah.
That might be the most modern thing I bought from Anchor Bay.
Wow.
When the writing was on the wall, I was like, I think we're done here.
Yeah, I know.
So I've got big hopes for whatever it is they've got planned. Mm-hmm. I really hope.
I do too. I wish them luck.
I do too. I will patron them.
I will.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever contact them to release something that you
thought? I never have.
I did one time.
Yeah.
And I never got an answer back.
Really?
But I was a kid and I probably didn't know who to talk to anyway.
Yeah.
I just went to their contact us page. But because they had released the big two-disc Army of Darkness, which was a Universal picture, I contacted them about releasing The Frighteners.
Oh, wow.
Because that was a Universal picture and its Laserdisc had the director's cut in that big 3-4 hour documentary. And I just, you know, I tried to appeal to them saying The Frighteners is as big a cult hit as Army of Darkness is. And there's all these bonus features. There's a whole different cut of the film. You could do what you did with Army of Darkness very easily.
Had it fallen out of licensing?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, that's kind of the problem, too, sometimes. A lot of these movies have fallen out of licensing.
But, like, Army of Darkness was still selling.
It was a property that, but they didn't care about it. So it was probably an easy license for them to get.
Well, what's funny, The Frighteners was a huge flop, too.
It definitely was, but it's like, you know, no offense to Bruce Campbell, but I feel like, you know, Michael J. Fox is more of a household name.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so I think that's probably why they were, like, maybe more guarded with The Frighteners.
Maybe.
Because, you know, again, it's one of these things we were talking about, like where, you know, at the time, you know, the Evil Dead came out, whoever was in charge at the studio, whoever the studio head was, mm-hmm. might not have cared. And then maybe, you know, you reached out. Maybe they were like, hey, that is a good idea. Let's find out. They look and they're like, nope, we like it. You know, it's someone else. It's someone different. It's just one of those things, you know, it's like you don't know who's in charge. And
true.
Because I think that's a great fucking idea. And that would have been a badass Anchor Bay.
Oh, for sure. And I could picture it clear as day, the big thick 2-disc set.
Yeah.
And just with all the bells and whistles that came with that Signature Series mm-hmm. Laserdisc, which came out in 98.
Yeah.
Which would have been around
That's in the wheelhouse.
Prime heyday.
Of what they're doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I just, I even then as a kid, I was putting two and two together and going, Army of Darkness is Universal, Frighteners is Universal. I'm like, they've got someone in house who's willing to farm out licenses. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, the Frighteners, man, just do it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a matter of you have to create new content. I'm like, it's all there in this Laserdisc. Just port it over, you know? And I never got anything back about it.
You know, I did have a like a wish list of movies that Anchor Bay would have put out.
Did you?
I did. Like, I wish just to see what it would have looked like, you know, just on the spine to have the sailboat logo with like Friday the 13th.
Oh, how cool.
Or the Warriors.
Yeah.
Or Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been so badass, like what they could have done. Because I feel like those movies are also in their wheelhouse as well of something that they would have, you know, done right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've never done, I've seen on like Instagram, there are pages where people make mock criterions. Have you seen them?
I have seen them.
That's cool.
That is cool.
But that's kind of what I'm picturing what you're talking about here. If someone did mock Anchor Bay's just to show what it would have looked like, that would have been pretty cool.
That would have been really fucking cool.
That would have been
neat. No, you know, I'm still a fan of Anchor Bay. And like I said, occasionally if they're out there and I don't have them, I'll get it.
Yeah.
You know, and I am hopeful, you know, and I wish the guys luck.
Me too, because I feel like they wouldn't even bother if they weren't going to do what they intended to do with that name.
Yeah.
And I hope that the new Skull and Crossbones sailboat is just a harbinger of something old brought back from the grave.
And then I will say this as a collector.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how great they are, I will still have to put them in another spot.
Oh, you mean these new ones?
I can't put them next to the old school logo. I'm sorry, guys.
No.
But they will, but they, you know, if they're great, and then I will buy them all and they will have their own shelf like the old ones do.
Well, I will say your Anchor Bay collection is primarily DVD.
Yeah.
And you separate your Blu-rays from your DVDs. So they're not going to go next to each other anyway.
So I'm good.
It will not affect your OCD one.
It will not. No, it won't. Well, thanks for taking this trip down Anchor Bay memory lane with me.
Yeah. No, I was a fan. Still am. And I think new collectors, pay attention, because you might see some stuff in there that, you know, I feel like they're going to come out swinging, because everyone that's out there right now, Scream Factory, Synapse, mm-hmm. Severin, I feel like they're looking at them and going, you guys were the phoenix that came out of our ashes. Now, now we're coming back to compete. I'm curious to see what they're going to shoot out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As am I.
So it'll be fun.
You know, as long as the titles keep building that are good.
Yes. And there's plenty of movies that, to this day, haven't made the jump from VHS.
Right.
I think there's plenty that they could pull from.
All right, man. Yeah, no, that was fun.
It was.
Now I'm going to go upstairs and play with my Anchor Bay.
Is that what you're calling your balls now? You going to set sail?
Wow.
You letting the mast out?
Hey, that was a good pull.
That was a great pull. I'd even call it a yank.
Until next time.
See ya, guys.